وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن رِّبًا لِّيَرْبُوَ فِي
That which ye give in usury in order that it may increase on other people's property hath no increase with Allah.
Welcome to Islamic Economy, a program that is aimed to make us understand what Islam tells us with regard to spending, with regard to saving money, to dealing with money.
God is looking for an economic system that's based on real things. It's based on real production. It's based on real services. It's based on creating real value for people.
Islamic Economy, a program that offers Islamic solutions to your economic problems in your daily lives.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. Welcome to yet another episode of Islamic Economy, dear brothers and sisters, a program that is dedicated to the Islamic viewpoint on economy in general. What are those elements that can make a person prosper in his economy or in his economic affairs? What are those elements that would result into his downfall? What are those things that are approved by Almighty Allah when it comes to spending in the way of Allah or spending in the right way, and so on? There are many issues that are very important for a believer to consider when it comes to Islamic economy. Inshallah, we will be talking about these issues in these programs. Previously, we had covered some of the advantages of economic affluence. We said that after a person has already attained taqwa or attained the inner equilibrium of the soul, he would obviously have the trait of taqwa and God-wariness, and that means that he would be obedient to the laws of God. And once he is obedient to the laws of God, then there is a lot of prosperity that he would get, both economic, material, as well as metaphysical prosperity. We talked about all this in our previous discussions, that how a person, because of having taqwa, would not only be availed with spiritual prosperity, but will also be availed with economic and material prosperity. But then we say that after this prosperity is achieved, there are advantages and there are disadvantages. There are benefits and there are lapses. We started enumerating the advantages of economic prosperity. Some of the advantages that we have already mentioned showed us that how beautiful it would be for a person to be affluent economically in terms of helping the religion, in terms of even his perfection. And there are some advantages that are remaining. We have not yet discussed about them. Inshallah, we will discuss in our forthcoming lectures. However, we would like to recap and review some of the advantages that we have already spoken about and give you more details about the gist of these advantages. And then, inshallah, we will continue with other advantages. One of the advantages that we mentioned previously is that when a person is economically affluent, he would maintain his self-esteem and he would not resort to begging and lower himself. Now, you know, a person may say that, but this asking help from other people is not lowering yourself. Obviously, it is natural that if a person thinks about it, and he will come to realize that it is a kind of lowering oneself, because it is asking from a person who is one like you. He was created like you were created. You are not asking from the source of creation. Yes, asking from the source of creation is not dhilla, it's not ignobility, or it is not degradation. It is izza, it is honor. And we have even traditions that indicate that asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something which is very good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages, and not only that, but even persistence in asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But asking from other people and depending on other people is something that makes a person degraded in the society. Let us look at some of the traditions quoted about this, and we will come to realize how difficult it is for a person who does not have economic affluence and has to resort to people around him and seek help from people. There is a beautiful hadith of the Holy Prophet that says, عِزُّ الْمُؤْمِنِ اِسْتِغْنَاؤُهُ عَنِ النَّاسِ. The honor of a believer is in being needless of people. So when you are economically affluent and you are needless of people, you have that izz, you have that honor that is with you. Another hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and this he addressed to Abu Dharr, one of his companions. He says, O Abu Dharr, beware of begging, for indeed it is present ignominy. That means, you know, it is lowliness which is hadir, dhullun hadir. So the Prophet says, Ya Abu Dharr, iyyaka was-su'al fa innahu dhullun hadir. O Abu Dharr, beware of asking, beware of begging, because it is present ignominy. That means it is that ignominy, that lowliness, that degradation that is present with you when you do this. It is something which is extremely reprimanded. Imam Ali alayhi salam also is reported to have said, Al-mas'alatu tawqul madhalla taslubul azizu izzahu wal hasibu hasabahu. Beautiful hadith in which Imam Ali alayhi salam says that begging is the neckband of ignominy, that means lowliness. It removes the honor of the esteemed one, and it removes the personality of one who has personality. And therefore, you see, it is clear that when a person is economically affluent, he has not to resort to begging, and thus he would not face ignominy and lowliness.
توحيدك قد أخلى قلبي من كل شريكي يا ربي توحيدك قد أخلى
Islamic Economy, a program on Islamic Economy every Friday on the Call of Islam radio station by Hujjat al-Islam Sheikh Muhammad Khalfan.
إلا آيات للحب
توحيدك قد أخلى قلبي من كل شريك يا ربي فبيوم لقائك لن أتلو إلا آيات للحب
امنحني القدرة كي أتلو لعلاك تسابيحا تحلو امنحني القدرة كي أتلو.
In a hadith again we find that Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam is reported to have said, Shi'atuna man la yas'al an-nas walau mata ju'an. This is a very powerful tradition, and it has a very severe tone in it. In this tradition, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, our Shi'as, that means our followers, those who are truly obedient to God, are those who do not beg even if they die in hunger. That shows how powerful it is, or how difficult it should be when a person would like to beg. But if a person is economically affluent, he does not need to beg to people and, you know, ask from people. And another frightening tradition also, and this is addressed to Imam Ali alayhi salam, and it is from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He says, Ya Ali, la in udkhila yadi fi fam at-tinnin ila al-mirfaq ahabbu ilayya min an as'ala man lam yakun thumma kan. O Ali, placing my hand in the mouth of a dragon up to my ankle, is more lovable to me than asking one who did not exist and then came into existence. This clearly shows that, you know, here there is a point that the Holy Prophet is trying to drive at. He says, you know, how should you ask from that person who was not there and came into being? And every moment he depends on God. How can you ask from him? So it is better to put your hand up to your ankle into a dragon and get burnt and get problems, but not to beg. That shows that begging is something which is extremely reprimanded in Islam. In conclusion, one of the advantages is that, you know, a person does not have to beg from people. He is independent. And this independence and economic affluence is one of the greatest or one of the most powerful blessings of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the human being. Another advantage that we spoke about, but I would like to give more details on this, is that it facilitates a person to become focused. And this is very important. And we talked about it. But here we will mention also some traditions with regard to this point so that we can understand it better. When we say that a person is focused, we mean that he does not have to think about the different physical amenities, and he does not have to think of how to procure them, from what means, and so on, when he has the wealth to procure them very easily. You know, sometimes you find that a person in a person's house, there are people who are sick and they have got ailments which cannot be cured very easily. It requires a lot of wealth, and now they have to resort to different kind of loans and different kinds of favors and write letters and ask people and so on. And they are occupied from dealing with their own souls and perfecting them and going towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, in this also, going after money and trying to procure the means, you will find that a lot of lapses occur and a lot of problems occur, and they even try to indulge in sins, ma'adallah, na'udhu billah, and thereafter they procure the money. And again, when they procure the money, that doesn't mean that this money that they have procured is halal, because sins they have procured such a money, for example, and this is not allowed. So, when a person is economically affluent, he doesn't think about these things. He deals with his devotion and goes for his lofty aspirations, like, you know, seeking knowledge, like building his soul, like training his children and so on, and he is focused. This is one other very important advantage, and we have 2-3 allusions from riwayat. Inshallah, we will mention that in our next episode. With this, we come to the end of the program. In short, in brief, what we have talked about in this program are two advantages that we had already spoken about previously, but then we gave more information on these two advantages in this episode. One of them is that a person would maintain his self-esteem and would not resort to begging others, which is something very reprimanded in Islam. And the second thing that we have just mentioned now is that it enables a person to be focused well in his aspirations, and it doesn't preoccupy him from things which are more important in life. Inshallah, we will continue with the second in more details next time. Inshallah. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin.
O my Creator, O Allah, fulfill our aims in life, Allah. Forgive our sins, Ya Allah. O Allah, the most gracious, Ya Rabbi bin Mustafa, balligh maqasidana, waghfir lana ma mada, Ya wasi al-karami. O my Creator, O Allah, fulfill our